You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the San Diego Padres. I'm Allison Fitter from MLB.com, here with my friend Corey Brock, who covers the Padres and just covered the draft, the Padres draft, for MLB.com. And so, Corey, I love, you know, you go through and you read the coverage from everyone, and everyone is sort of tasked with finding interesting angles and things that people want to read about. The Padres draft class, as you have said, was full of extra large athletes. 17 players, 6'4" or taller, which, you know, could tell you a lot or tell you a little bit, but it is nice to see, you know, bigger, stronger, faster, I guess, come into the organization.
Yeah, it's, and, you know, who knows what this will all mean in the long run. And, you know, they've assured me that this was purely by coincidence. I'm not entirely sure that's the case, Allison. I think probably a lot of the guys they targeted are, you know, larger framed athletes, whether that be pitchers or position players. Now, most of them are pitchers, these kind of these wide-bodied, large-framed guys with big live arms. A lot of these guys they targeted in the draft and drafted a few of them, and then some big position players as well. I'm kind of intrigued by this kid I wrote about in the 15th round they picked yesterday out of the JUCO in Florida. He's a big left-handed hitting first baseman. He went to the University of Miami as a freshman, skipped his senior year of high school, so he's only 19 years old, but a big guy with a lot of power. So, you know, you kind of look at these trends that these teams pick, and you know, a lot of pitchers, a lot of big athletes, a lot of quick athletes and catchers. I don't know if there's any one way to go about, you know, putting together a draft list. I think, you know, you truly have a list of guys you like, and then some of them are gone and some of them are available. And so we don't really know what to make of any of these guys for 4 or 5 years anyway. But I know the Padres and, you know, their first-year scouting director feel pretty good about what they came up with.
So only 7 of 39 picks were high school players, which seems to be really low. Is that has there ever been a – I mean, obviously it's
– Yeah. No, I think that's fair, Allison. And I think really maybe there's only going to maybe be a couple of those guys that maybe really truly have a chance to sign. You know, a few of the other ones were kind of middle rounds toward later, so I have to think they have, you know, college commitments that they might try and honor. It might be hard to kind of push them off that, but you know, their first overall pick, I should say, well, it was their second round pick, but it was their first pick, a big right-handed pitcher out of a high school in Florida, Austin Smith. He was one of the high school kids they picked. I think they'll sign him. And then there was an outfielder from Florida, last name McGee. He's a leadoff hitter kind of guy, a good athlete, kind of fits, I think, a lot of the things AJ Preller wants to get in the system. You know, quick athletes, maybe guys you can move around. This guy has a potential to maybe play some second base too. So I don't know if there's exactly an AJ Preller type player yet. And, you know, I'm not exactly sure exactly what his imprint was on the draft. I know he was heavily involved in it, but certainly has his hands full presiding over the major league team as well. So we'll give it a few years. The sample size is still pretty small, but no, I thought that was a little curious too, Allison. So, you know, you would be inclined to think with these college guys, they might move a little bit quicker throughout the system.
Yeah, I mean, that is a risk, too. I mean, and, you know, for the top picks, I mean, there's a very strong relationship that is formed between the scouts and the players. It's not like they just show up to a couple games right before the draft. I mean, they're following these guys through the years. They know very well if they're going to be able, you know, their signability, as they say. But it is more of a risk. I mean, you get to, like, the later rounds, and there's still guys you want, but you are competing against the colleges that they want to go to. And it's harder to really determine, like, ultimately how they're going to go. And so that is a risk to take, like, more high school players than college.
Yeah, it's one the Padres and a lot of teams have dealt with. And I'll go back a few years to when the team took Austin Hedges in the second round. You know, he's from a high school just north of here in San Juan Capistrano. Well, he was a very strong UCLA commit. And the thought was, you know, this guy was regarded as the top defensive catcher in the entire draft. And, you know, the moment he signed, he was probably one of the top defensive catchers in all the minor leagues, you know. And Austin Hedges, of course, is already up with the Padres. He was recalled this year, rookie catcher. But just a little background on him. But, you know, the Padres drafted him in the second round, and, you know, with no, like, full assurance that they were going to be able to get him to move off that college commitment to UCLA, which is one of the top programs in the country. But, you know, they were able to scrimp and save with a few other picks and throw some money at him. And lo and behold, he signed, you know, at a place where, you know, thought he was a first-round talent, but he was able to get to the second round because I think a lot of teams thought he was really firmly committed to UCLA. So, yeah, I think that's kind of where you these scouts, you know, I've always kind of likened it, Allison. I think scouts are a little bit like reporters in the sense now where they really have to do their due diligence with developing sources and background on these guys. Josh Burns, the former general manager of the Padres, gave me a great line that he stole from, I think, a GM of an NFL team, says something akin, I can't remember it and I'll butcher it, of course, but something like, you know, if you're not talking to the school janitor, you're not doing your job, you know, so... Like, you know, and so you need to know that, heck, if I'm going to pick this guy, you know, there's a chance he could sign, but, you know, you feel pretty good that you've done your due diligence, you've talked to enough people, and I'm not just talking to his high school coach, who's going to say all sorts of wonderful things about him, but you kind of got to get to that next layer, kind of like reporters, you got to get to that next level of sources, and you got to get yourself the full picture, and you talk to enough people, and you can be able to paint yourself a full picture and get a better understanding of the person you're trying to deal with, or like in our cases, like if we're writing a feature story, the profile we're trying to write, you get a better understanding of a person with the more people you talk to.
Yeah, no doubt. Is it alarming at all? I just look at, even though they didn't have to get rid of like all of their talent to build the major league team this year, the fact that they didn't get to even pick until 51 overall because of the James Shields signing, the obtaining Craig Kimbrell in a trade. I say this, I have some experience just having watched the Astros. The beginning of the end of their minor league system really started with having signed like type A free agents. Of course, they don't have those now, but just sort of not picking in the early rounds, and you do that enough, they can come back to get you. I'm not saying that's going to be what's happening with the Padres, but is there any concern just because they didn't get to start even picking until people were already two players in?
Yeah, you know, I think that was kind of the risk-reward you run with when you dabble in you know, trading draft picks as they did with Kimbrel and certainly signing James Shields and losing a draft pick that way. So, you know, I thought, you know, I talked to Mark Connor, their first-year scouting director, and I asked him about this, and, you know, just sort of jokingly, like, hey, you accepted this job back in the fall when you still had the 13th overall pick and the 41st pick, and lo and behold, you know, you end up losing both of those. And, you know, and he said that, you know, another scouting director or a different scout kind of put it to him this way. He says, hey, look at it this way. Your 13th overall pick was James Shields, and your 41st overall pick was Craig Kimbrel. And so, you know, maybe that's an oversimplification, but, you know, essentially all these players, all these draft picks, everything serves to benefit the major league team, whether that's eventually or if it's today. And, you know, the Padres were trying to get better today when they made both those deals, when they signed Shields in February and certainly when they traded for Kimbrel a day before opening day. And I don't know if it's essentially mortgaging their future, maybe a little bit. You know, I like a lot of the players they moved in those deals. I think some of those players are going to help other teams. You know, also we saw Joe Ross the other day, Tyson Ross's younger brother, make his major league debut for the Nationals. They really like Joe Ross. I think he's going to be a very good major league pitcher. So, so there's going to be some of those guys are going to end up in the big leagues helping other teams. So it just kind of happens that way. But, you know, I think one of the things that kind of made it a little easier to digest for the Padres was that maybe this draft wasn't really filled with top-tier guys at the very top. I think there's probably going to be some solid major league players throughout the draft, but at least at the very top, they don't feel like they missed out on a whole lot by not having a guy at 13 or 41.
Right. Yeah, it's a big, it's all a lot of guessing anyway, but long as they don't have too many of those refs in a row, I think they're going to, you know, end up being okay. I wanted to ask about Jed Gurko. So recently opted into AAA. This is sort of slowly building. I mean, you could kind of feel this maybe coming at some point. Were you surprised at all?
Yeah. No, and not surprised. I mean, yeah, I think it was going to happen. He had sort of been reduced to a role where he was only starting against left-handed pitchers, and you know how the big leagues works. I mean, you could go, you know, you can go several weeks at a time without facing any of these guys, or you could face three of them on consecutive days. So, but more often than not, you're not seeing a whole lot of these guys. So, and the Padres had gone through a stretch where they hadn't seen a left-hander in a long time. So, you know, he really struggled. He's gotten off to slow starts ever since he's been in the big leagues. And since he's told me, ever since he's been in professional baseball, and he's always kind of hit his way out of it, but he hasn't so far. You know, he's going to get a chance to go to AAA and play every day and work on some of the things he worked on here, which is not expanding the strike zone, work on his, you know, work on attacking right-handed pitching and you know, using all fields and just trying to find that stroke that works so well for him his rookie year. So, you know, by no means have they given up on Jed Gurko. He's still a relatively young player. You know, there's still some money left on that contract, certainly, that he signed last April. And, you know, he has a lot of pride. And I know in my conversations with him that this bothers him, and he wants to fix it. You know, he's not sitting around moping in the clubhouse or looking over his shoulder. He's putting in the extra time before the games with the hitting coaches, watching video. He's trying to get better. Maybe this is a chance for him to step back in order to take a step forward. So we'll kind of monitor that as we move throughout here. But yeah, it's always a little strange when a guy that's been around for so long, so to speak, is no longer with the big league club.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's still plenty of time for him. But anyway, Corey, thank you so much, and enjoy your time off that's coming up, and we'll talk to you when you get back.
Great. Thanks, Allison. I appreciate it.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.